You are listening to the Fresh Take
second round for Giannis.
Prior to Middleton getting hurt, I had Bucks repeating this year because the way how Giannis is in his bag, he's shooting the three, he's confident, he's playing defense, he's healthy. Like the way how he was playing, and they got Brooke Lopez back, and Bobby Portis is playing good. Like I thought they would have walked to the finals and maybe beat Phoenix in six, you know. But with Middleton missing the whole next round, he's out the whole second round.
That might hurt.
That's tough, man.
Like, hey, if Grayson Allen keep playing the way he playing,
he shoot that shit.
Yeah, he playing the way he playing. And Middleton, I ain't going to say he's not going to matter, but they definitely get into the Eastern Conference Finals the way he playing right now.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, it's all about that next man up mentality pretty much, right, to be honest. So, and I'm liking the Heat, though, in the East. They making some good strides. Jimmy playing nice too, so I'm like, we'll see. The East is a toss up for me.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, especially with like the injuries. Like now, Joel Embiid might be out indefinitely, so we don't know what was happening with that. Like, I think he'll only miss game one because they're saying he has like a concussion. So that's like what, like 3-4.
They said the orbital fracture.
Yeah,
that's
but
broken face.
It is, but you can put
a mask on.
You put a mask on. Hey, straight. You put a mask on.
We're going to take his one elbow from Bam out of bio.
I'm going to take his one. You're right. I'll take one, but hey, it's playoffs, man. You're going to get
somebody like PJ Tucker that just play hard for no reason for 42 minutes and
technical elbow.
Accidental, but on purpose.
Yeah. I could definitely see Bam or Jimmy or fucking Kyle Lowry doing one of them shits. I like Miami, and with Miami, like what's his face, Oladipo, man, he's turning it on at the right time. Like he's starting to come up a little bit.
He finding his strides again
at the right time. Yeah. So
do y'all find them rumors about Oladipo and Jimmy Butler not wanting Oladipo on the court at the same time as them true? Or
I mean, honestly, like this is the thing at the pro level, everybody don't like everybody. You know, like.
Yeah.
Even on the Raptors, when they were in that run and everyone was kind of, you know, everyone was happy. Like, I've heard rumors of people beefing on that team. So end of the day, you know, you got a job. You got to go out there and do that job to the best of your ability, you know, and then let the chips fall where they may. Like, there might be some animosity because they're essentially the same player. They play this. They do the same thing. They, you know, they're the same kind of person. And if you look at it, before Oladipo got hurt, he was that guy.
So,
that guy, so you know, might be a little bit of that.
Yeah, because they both ball dominant. So like you say, it's just, man, I gotta give what, 5, 6, 7 shots that I usually take to let him be happy, but I kinda wanna find my groove. So I just trying to find that little compromise that I don't think Jimmy wanna have.
No, not at all. Like Jimmy's mm-hmm. in his like all-star I'm the guy bag right now, where like, you know, the other day he had a 40 burger. He's just in his bag right now, where he knows he's the guy. He knows he's gonna get his shot. That's it, you know. But yeah, man, we'll jump right into it, man. As I said, I got all stars, first team all stars, player of the year, tournament. I got a bunch of friggin' high caliber players right here with me. But kind of take me back, man. Y'all are all from the U.S. Y'all from we got Indiana, we got Arkansas in here. We got, I don't know where you're from, man. Cass, you from,
hey, from St. Louis? Born. Vegas. Where you
from, man? He said, I don't know where you from.
No.
STL, man. But, everyone.
But I know you're from St. Louis, but you're back in Vegas right now.
Yeah, you're chilling in Vegas, man. There's a Zion out here.
Yeah. Nah, that's dope. Nah, but got three of y'all from the U.S. But yeah, talk to me about kind of how y'all started playing ball, man. Like, what was that story like playing ball in the U.S. coming up?
Well, for me, I'll start off. I've been playing since I was youngin'. So my mom, pops, they put me in all type of sports. But basketball really stuck with me. And then so like high school, I was never really like the guy. I get on the team, shoot a little bit, whatever, do your thing. And then my senior year, we won our state championship. So that was, got that under my belt. And then was that, played a year in the States. And then from there, I played with Bermuda, their national team. And then went to Vancouver for a tournament. And that's where I got picked up for Olds.
Okay.
So that's how my little journey came here, out here to Canada. But it's been a nice shift, because when I found my strides at Olds, I had to take that leadership role rather than that, you know, come in and feel like, you know, to fill the role, whatever.
Yeah,
it was crazy. So I've been liking it. Canada opened their arms for me, but and it's been good. Yeah.
Well, probably say for me starting off, my parents got me a Fisher Price hoop. I was shooting on that, dunking on that in the basement. And I'll never forget, this was like, shoot, back in like, I'm a 95 baby. So like 99, 98, 99. My mom always like called me Shawn Michael Jordan, sitting there dunking on the on the Fisher Price hoops and as a kid. So that kind of like stuck with me forever. So like, kind of like Lennon said, shoot, played every sport growing up, bunch of them. Basketball and football is like the main ones. Like damn near piggyback off of him. Did all like the EYBL stuff, travel ball, AAU and everything. And then senior year, won state player of the year, all of that good stuff. Played 2 years of JUCO ball here in the States and got the short end of the stick as far as like moving forward. Ended up sitting out for like 3 years. And then I don't know if y'all know him, but Solon Ellis played at played at Red Deer and Nate. His cousin, one of my teammates from the second JUCO I went to, and he was trying to get both of us to come with him to Red Deer in 2018, but just on the money tip, couldn't really afford it. So he was like, all right, stack up, save up. And then that's how I ended up at Nate. And like I said, like Linda said, shit, Canada been nothing but fun, open arms. And shit, if I could go back couple years back, not sit out for 3 years, I definitely would have made that move up there, because Canada ain't been nothing but good to me since I've been there. Like I said, just out of opportunity and everything, to hoop, have fun, connect with people. Like I said, these two guys that's on here with me from the States too, like I said, it's a couple of us up there. So like I said, we ain't the closest to people, but shit, every time like we all get around and get to rap, and it seem like we've known each other for years. So like, that's like the beauty of it to me, because like everybody got similar stories, different, like I said, different paths that they went down, but we all end up in the same place. And like I said, on some starting unknown, but shit, ending up forgotten kind of thing. So definitely enjoying my Canada time.
That's dope.
For me, starting out, my grandma influenced me playing basketball. It was just like, anytime I was with her, it was always some basketball on the TV. She was always traveling to basketball games, and she would take me with her. So I was like, all right, she liked this, I'ma like this, because that was like my number one lady. So she started teaching me about the game. I started learning, started practicing on my own. And then like sometimes I'd just go and I'd be like, grandma, I learned this. Every new move I learned, I showed her. So fast forward, I've been playing for a few years. She coming to my games and stuff like that. My school where I was at, like I'm from a small town, man, like 1,000 people. So you would never get exposure in a town like that. So yeah. I didn't really have like no recruitment coming out of high school, none of that. I went to a university in Arkansas, Central Arkansas, and tried to do a walk-on. But they had a team already. They had recruited full. They was already stacked or whatever. So I was like, all right, cool. I'm going to just go to school here, and then I'm going to try on next year. And, man, without playing basketball, I was just on some crazy stuff, man. Like, it was just, you know, ended up, like, getting a call from one of my old AAU coaches, and he was like, man, we starting up this semi-pro team in Arkansas. I'd love for you to come play for me. So I'm like, all right, that's a chance for me to get back in it. So I started playing that, probably played, like, 5 games. And then I talked to one of the guys that I was playing with who was from Montreal. He knew my coach. So he was like, man, you ever played college ball? And I was like, nah. He was like, man, I got somebody coaching in Canada. That would be an option for you. And I was like, shh, man, I don't know. That's Canada, man. That's far. I was like, I don't know. So, man, time go on. Some old bull stuff happening. I'm just like, I need a fresh start.
Yeah.
So, man, I got out of jail. Coach called me probably like 2 days after I got out. He was like, man, what you thinking? He was like, I got a plane ticket. All you got to do is. I was like, bless. So I just got my passport and I was out.
Yeah.
Just like the other two guys said, man, it's been blessed. It's been blessed ever since.
That's dope. That's crazy. I mean, it's crazy to hear that you guys all have different stories, but like they all kind of mesh together to where y'all at right now. It's crazy, you know. And then to see that you guys are all, as I said, like first team all star, second team all star, Clancy over there freaking showing off for 2 player of the years and shit. You know,
big dog.
Yeah, big dog. two player year, 2 different schools. You tough. But yeah, all right.
Two different schools. Hold it down.
Nuts. Yeah. Naughty. But yeah, so kind of going back a little bit, so kind of before y'all kind of got to Canada and y'all were out there playing ball, who were some of the players in your area that you were going up against that were like tough, that were like your toughest individual matchups? Like, who were some of those guys in your area?
I'll go first on that one. I say high school wise for me, I started off in Vegas. I did high school in Vegas for a year before I moved back to St. Louis. So starting off, I played with Gary Payton, II, now with the Warriors.
Yeah,
my freshman year, I started varsity, and my very, very first varsity game was against Shabazz Muhammad, and they at their crib, and that game was, that's like, I'll never forget that game, because it was crazy. We was in there. We had a chance to, I wouldn't say win it, but we was in the game for sure, and they got some home cooking. He started getting all the superstar calls, and even at that time, I didn't even know nothing about, like, ESPN rankings or none of that stuff, man. And I'm coming from St. Louis, so Missouri are show me state. So sitting there, I'm coming on the court, everybody, oh, y'all finna play number one. I'm like, who is it? I'm looking around. I'm like, I see 6'8", 6'8", 6'6", and then Shabazz is 6'5". I'm like, he can't be the number one. It got to be one of them 6'8" guys. They get to calling his name, and he got like the face posters with him on the crowd. I'm like, that's that guy right there. Him. Okay. So he was the one that was guarding me starting off the game, and got my first 2 varsity points, buckets on him. And from there, and like I said, I ended up really liking it too much in Vegas at the time. then went back to St. Louis, and then back in St. Louis, guys that I played with and against back there, the three-time NBA champ in his first three seasons, Pat McCarr, like one of my good buddies, played against Jason Tatum, and that's just to give a couple NBA guys that y'all might – clearly that y'all know. So
yeah. Patrick McCall, you won one with us, man. Toronto, dope.
Yeah.
You dope.
Yeah. See, I don't think – I never played with people, but I played against them, like, just being in Indiana. We played over in Chicago. We played against, like, Simeon and Whitney Young. So I think I played against Jahlil Okafor one year. Big dude, he like 6'7", 6'8". Played against him, and then went out
to a man child too.
Yeah, he's a big boy, man.
Yeah, he was like that in high school. So yeah, you know, he was crazy. And then we went out to Indianapolis, so we played against Trey Lyles out there. And then my junior year, I didn't play in a state game, but we played Yogi. So Yogi Ferrell.
Oh yeah, yeah, quick, he's fast as hell.
Man, dubbed it. Dubs, like, it wasn't even a game, bro. I think he had like a triple double or something like that. Damn. He was the top, I think, number one point guard in the country at that time. So played against him, we didn't have a chance. So that was lit. But yeah, played against some guys. But yeah, Indiana, we came across a few guys, especially our team, the high school I went to. We got the chance to, you know, play against some dudes.
That's so awesome. It was playing against Simeon, that's crazy.
Hey. Indiana high key is a basketball state too. So
I know it is, for sure it is.
Yeah. Yeah, some people, that's what I say, like, just being around that atmosphere, that culture kind of bring your level and your love for basketball up a little bit more too. Yeah.
For me, I played against Archie Goodwin, AAU.
Okay. Archie you from Arkansas. So who out there? What's his name? ISO Joe? He from out there too, no?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, you'll never see ISO Joe though. ISO Joe stay in the gym, man. You'll never see ISO Joe. But I used to play pickup with Malik Monk too. Him and his brother, Marcus Monk.
That's dope. He's super bouncy, man.
Crazy.
Hope he stays in LA, man. Fingers crossed. Fingers crossed, man. We'll see what happens with all that. So kind of jumping back to ACAC, man, like, from the U.S. ball to playing in ACAC in Canada, like, what has been some of the differences that y'all have seen with, like, hoops out here?
I say, like, the culture of basketball out here, because, like, back home, you know, you can talk your smack. Like, you can talk your talk on the court. They're going to let you talk. Like, that's part of the game. Like, that's what gets most players going.
Ooh, for sure.
And when I came out here, it was all about good sport. Just make the sport. So I'm like, man, I got to change my whole game style. Like, this is what I'm used to. Like, if I ain't talking, then I don't know how to play.
Yeah.
So that's the biggest difference for me.
That's a huge one. Like, even myself, like, I grew up playing ball in Toronto. So Toronto is different than the U.S. in the intensity and all that, but we still get after it. We still talk shit. We still get into all of that. And, like, for me to come over from Toronto and coming over to Calgary, I'm like, yo, this is, like, a different world completely. So, like, and that's for me coming from Toronto, you know? So I only imagine from y'all, because I remember going to New York, going to Jersey, going to all these on the East Coast playing tournaments out there. And having, like, guys talk shit. So I remember that. And, like, coming out here, I'm like, oh, this is different. Like, even today, like, I was coaching today, and, like, they got, like, if you're up 20 points, you can't press anymore. I'm like, yo, what? Like, what is this rule? Like,
I never mercy in my life. Man, yeah.
That's all new to me.
Mm-hmm. Like, because when I'm playing in front of the States, like you say, like, I'm a menace when I play. So I'm in you, I gotta talk, whatever the case may be. And then, like, a couple battles I'm in, I'm in games. Remember, in games, I'm talking, trying to get people right up. They're like, yo, man, like, calm down, bro. Like, I'm just like, all right, bro, it's different. But yeah, and the refs too, the refs don't encourage it. So that's why they try to keep you at arm's reach with it. But two, I see it's more systematic too, like, out here. So they kind of a lot of teams, most teams like to slow the ball down and set plays and all that. Rather than the States, you got five people that can get a bucket. So you pass to the wing, they go to work. You pass over here, they go to work. But here is more, go set the screen, go run through that. Yeah. And all that. So, yeah, that's it kind of slowed my game down a little bit, but it just
it's got crazy for sure. Yeah, for like I say that for sure because, like, because y'all over at Ambrose, like, y'all were so y'all were the best team that I've seen in like getting to a set, getting the look you want, getting the shot you want. Like, y'all were the best I've seen with that. So, like, coming from the US, where it's like, all right, everybody can get a bucket, everybody can go. You know, you might have like your one high pick and roll or your one dribble handoff or whatever the case is, but end of the day is get your ball, get the ball to a guy who can get a bucket and going. So like seeing that difference, that'd be crazy.
It's a 4-360.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I'd probably say mine would be more so the culture effect off the court, more like at practice and stuff like that. And that's more so my first school at Nate. So there was more like they said, get me at practice. Even in games, talking crazy, high intensity. Like, that's what I'm bringing every time, like on the court, especially when we get up and down, get the hooping. And dudes out there on the court looking at me like, yo, is this guy serious? I'm like, damn, is you going to guard me or is you going to just let me talk crazy, just let me do what I want? And then at the time, the coach was on the same thing. He was like, yo, Sean, you gonna have to tone it down. I'm like, all right, tone it down. And it's like changing who I am as a player to try and fit the culture of the team. I'm just like, nah. And the first time we played, it was Lakeland and Keanu. They two teams are more predominantly black.
Yeah.
And man, we get out there, and this Artavius wasn't playing this time. This is my first year there when I was at Nate. But we out there playing Nate. And that y'all had like it was like three guards, all little ass guards. Picking up, they full court hitting me every time. I'm just like, all right. So I literally turned my game down, or that part of my game down to like, all right, because my coach is like, oh, you're not like if you talk back or do this, do that, like you gonna get tech. I'm just like, okay, turn my game down. Like the first quarter, I'm sitting on the bench with two fouls. I'm like, but hey, doing this, they doing that, they not in my head, but it's like they just being little pests, little gnats. And I'm like, all right. Second quarter come and I'm like, all right. They doing that. Let me just play my game. End up snapping off for like 42, and then same thing like with the refs too. Like the refs not condoning it. Like I got a tech at Lakeland game for I shot a three, and as soon as it left my hands, I knew it was good. Whoever it was that was guarding me, I'm like right in his ear. As soon as it left my hands, I'm like that's another one for your ass. Turn, and as soon as the ball ain't even go in yet, ref already blowing the whistle, giving me a tech, and I'm just like, dog. I ain't even like say nothing crazy like that. Yeah, yeah. That's regular talk.
Regular
like,
talk. Yeah.
I'm not even like
in them
singling him out. I'm just hey, that's another one. Let's load. That's another bucket. I'm like, all right. And then we're dealing with that. But like I said, same thing when we played Keanu that first time. Coach still turning me down, turning everybody else down at practices and stuff. Like, oh, refs are gonna call it. They get up and Keanu beat us by like 30 the first game, and literally that's how all of them play. Steph, Noah, the dude DJ Davis that they had at the time. It was like all of them just bully balling, just talking crazy. I'm just like, yo, like, but yeah, that was my like little culture shock as far as like so off the court.
Yeah,
dealing with that, but it was a whole different culture seeing like y'all down in the South when we play Ambrose, like when I was in there playing Ambrose in the playoffs, playing Lethbridge first round, seeing Sage, I'm like, okay, so we can play like this a little bit, but I see why I got to turn it down. So I'm just like,
yeah. All right, that's crazy. So kind of on that note right there, like what, like you kind of touched on culture shock, but y'all all from the U.S. I mean, y'all all from the U.S. from like warmer places than Calgary and Fort Mac and fucking Lakeland, you know, cold ass places in Canada. What was your biggest culture shock when y'all came out here? The biggest one where it hit you like, yo, this can't be it, man. This is not it. Cause like for me, I couldn't be in Fort Mac. Like I'm used to the cold in Toronto. Calgary got cold, but that snow and cold y'all got in Fort Mac. Like if I came out to play and got to that, I'm gonna take it back.
I'll answer that one first. For me, it was the January 2020 when the week that Kobe passed. That's when it was the coldest. I literally saw the news that said Edmonton was the coldest place on earth for like 2 days in a row. And I'm like, I'm looking, I'm like, bro, it got down in the morning. It was down to like negative, what? We had a Wednesday morning practice too, like 8 like 6 a.m. And it was down to like negative 40 something with the wind chill, felt like negative six. And I'm just like, yo, I damn near like the night before, and they was talking about like, oh, make sure y'all plug y'all cars in, all that stuff. I was like, yo, if it's gonna be that cold at 6 a.m., I'm like, I'm not going to practice. It's not happening. If I gotta wait at the bus stop at 6 a.m., I'm not doing it. It's not happening. And then a couple of teammates end up coming to pick us up. We all end up going to practice late because their cars ain't started. Yeah, that was insane. And it was like that for like another like a good week where the high was like minus 20. And then I'm talking Fahrenheit, not even Celsius. I'm like, the high is minus 20 for like the next 3-4 days. I'm like, yeah. And then up in Fort Mac is
it's insane.
Literally that for 3 straight months. Yeah. It snowed in December night right before we left for Christmas break. It was literally freezing cold like that. Like the high was like minus 10 Fahrenheit all the way up until damn near the end of January, beginning of February.
That's crazy.
That's different, like, cause I'm in Chicago or by Chicago, so I'm used to the cold, but I wasn't used to the snow. Mm-hmm. So like, and my shot too, cause you know I landed at Old, so I'm like,
yeah.
I was out there like, man, I don't know how y'all living out here, bro. There's one Walmart, that's it. Walmart, you got a couple clubs, that's it. That's straight, but yeah, like the snow, I'm still not adjusted to how much snow y'all get. I ain't even gonna lie. That's why I'm trying to boot it as soon as I can go. Yeah, as soon as I go, I'm out. So it was different. Like, I think it snowed. I ain't never dealt with snow really in September. So it snowed on my birthday, end of September. Okay. The first year I got here, it snowed from September to end of May. So that whole spurt when I first got here, I'm just dealing with straight snow. So I'm like, I don't think this for me. I'm on a phone every day, like, hey man, I don't know. I might be back home next year, whatever the case may be. But yeah, it's kind of crazy. It's different. Still getting adjusted, but I don't think you ever get used to it.
I say my culture shock was going to the club and seeing somebody in there with cowboy boots on, man. Two-stepping. Hey, that was my culture shock. I was just like, yo, this how we going out here? Like, I gotta go get me some boots.
In the world.
Man, I had to learn how to two-step. We ain't talking about the R. Kelly two-step, man. Yeah, we're talking about that two-step. You hear me? Two-step.
I gotta ask. So you from Canada, from Toronto?
Yeah.
Why do everybody out here at any time of the year wear forces and they run them through the ground? Like, they forces be all white forces be dirty, dingy, and you.
Hey, they like, love them like that.
They love them, bro. Yeah. They in the club like they fits be okay, be decent. You look at their shoes; it's some busted, dirty, sold out. Air Force One. Like, why do y'all love them shoes that much?
The biggest thing is that there's only a small pocket of people out here who actually like rock with some real kicks. Only like a small percentage of people. Like, other than that, like, kicks are just shoes, you know? The majority of people out here. So like there's wear like another pair of shoes, but they're only like a small pocket of people that actually like, nah, like, my kicks gotta be clean. There's certain people who like their kicks are more important than their fit, you know? So like, I haven't seen it too much in Calgary, but Toronto for sure. Like, you got people out there wearing like the Jordans and everything, like the Space Jams, everything, you know?
I was gonna say too, my thing too is the diversity of people. Like, cause I grew up Indiana, I grew up in my city, 97-98% black people.
Yeah.
So I came here, I'm dealing with like people from like Sudan, and I got like the brown people, boom, boom, boom. So, and to this day, they still think I'm white, like half white. I'm like, man, I got two black parents. Like, and they just, oh, no, this white, that white. I'm like, so I'm still trying to get adjusted to the different cultures, how people live and stuff like that. So I think too, that added a little bit more for me to just get adjusted, see how people vibe and how they rock.
Dope. All right, man. We're almost in wrap up. I got one more kind of fun question for y'all, man. Y'all have all played in big ACAC meaningful tournament games and stuff. You know, like I don't want to talk about it too much, but us as Saint, we've played all three of y'all in the finals at one point or another. You know, yeah. So I guess my question would be for all of y'all, like, what would be like your in your time being in ACAC? So all of you guys have played at least two years in ACAC. So in your time in ACAC, what has been like your most memorable moment in the ACAC?
You know, my battles with Sate still. I love battling with y'all, man.
We always go at it.
Yeah, so I think mine was just that playoff run that we had a couple years ago. Cause at O's, I ain't never get a chance to make the playoffs. So yeah. And I always said I'm a playoff dude. I love playoff, like the atmosphere and all that.
It's different, man. Like season is fun, preseason is fun, but them playoff games, it's like
it's different.
Like you walk in the gym and you just know, like you know it's about to be real. You know?
So yeah, just been on that stage, you know, playing against Shine that game. That was a good one too. Cause you know we had the whole plan. We was like, "Hey, he can go off for like 40
Hey, that whole run, he was going 40 burger, 40 burger, 40 burger. I'm like, "Yo, who the hell is this guy putting up this work? What the hell?"
But I had some for him. but we played. We had that one. It was a good one. We played that one. Then we got y'all in the championship game. And you know, result, whatever. But that run, that just showed me a lot personally that you know, just compete and just to like that want to win. So that added a lot of fuel to my fire for me for that year.
That's dope. That's dope. Mm-hmm.
Probably say for me,
all right, sorry. I'll say this. My favorite moment of like I ever remember is we were at that game when y'all played fucking Lethbridge. All right. Until this day, like we'll be in the gym, me, Chuck, we'll all be in the gym, we'll all just topping up, whatever. And we're like, yo, Clancy was in there going at Porter and talking to his mom. I'm like, yo, what is going on? Like, when I seen that, I'm like, I rate him because like he's hooping, he's talking shit, he's doing his thing, you know, and he's just out there competing, you know. And that's one memory that I remember. I'm like, yo, from that point, I'm like, yo, I definitely rock with dudes for sure.
Yeah, I'll probably say my favorite ACAC moment probably have to be definitely all of the playoff runs that I had first year at Nate and then even this year playing the Final Four was crazy. Not to discredit that GP game, but I mean we had a chance to make history with that 1-71. I think that's like the second or third largest margin of victory in ACAC playoff history. So yep. Had a chance to do that. The Ranger game was fun. Back-to-back 4-point plays, got the crowd going a little bit. And then I'll probably say that the damn game against Sabres, that shit was electric.
That was a back and forth. It was dope, man. That was like
one of the craziest games. Games I've been a part of for sure, and I like that. To me, that like speaks volumes of that, because like, so I've been playing on like EYBL state championship big arenas and stuff like that. So playing them playoff game definitely like get that kind of feel like I'm back at home kind of thing. Like, but the best one definitely against Lethbridge when I was at Nate, because we talked about that often. Me, Solon. I don't know if y'all know who Marcus Taylor Knighton is, but he played with me at
Barber.
he was my roommate every trip. So like when even at the crib too in Edmonton, and when we played, we had the award ceremony, and we was like, bro, it's like the Hunger Games right now. Like they give the award before we go out to play. We sitting there. And we sitting right behind Keanu. We know Coach Jeremy was going to win North Division Coach of the Year or something like that. Or he should have got the overall that year. But they get the Lethbridge coach, I think, got it or somebody.
But yeah.
So we sitting there behind Keanu, and then they announced Brock's name.
Yeah.
Everybody at Keanu table looked back at me, and I'm just like, damn, that's crazy. I'm like, I had to respect it because I'm like, They got it by record, but I'm like, all right. And we played them first. Yeah, y'all done fucked up for sure. I'm like, all right. I went like real story time with it. Like Marcus looked at me, he was like, "Yo, you good?" And I'm just sitting there like, "Bro, my dad just passed, and they just robbed me for that." Oh yeah, this is gonna be up tomorrow, bro. I went and hopped in the shower after that. I cried in the shower probably for like, I was in the shower for like 20 minutes, bawling, just crying. And shit, after I wiped up them last tears, I said, "Yeah, they finna get hell tomorrow." First bucket was on Brock too, and hit him with like a little crossover pull up, cashed it. And I'm just like, I yell his name. I'm like, yeah, Brock, it's going to be a long night. And then my next bucket, somebody in the crowd said something to me. I'm just like, well, Black Panther said to, or not Black Panther, but Killmonger said, this y'all king. This y'all king. So I'm just sitting there. I'm like, this y'all player of the year? I'm like, yeah. Hell no. Nah. It's crazy. Oh, crazy. So then, yeah, let them have it that game. And then next one against Ambrose. I'm like, man. It was that game was so crazy, so back and forth. It was just like all the way up to the end. I'm like, bro, I was so gassed, dog. Like my last, like literally the last defensive player that like I would say like honestly like lost us the game was with Leonard, and he had it off their left wing, and we knew the play was coming. It was either gonna be a ball screen coming to the wing, and I jumped it without having help on the baseline. Like And then, like, I could have recovered, but too fast. He beat me off the screen. Felt like he was coming off of a downhill and one. He gonna try to take his charge too late, and they go up. I think they went up 5 off of that. And that was ball game. Yeah. So, yeah. But yeah, that whole playoff run was crazy.
For me, all the games.
On a crazy run that year at Lethbridge, man. You guys went. Y'all beat Concordia.
Oh, yeah. I was just saying how that whole year, like the playoff run, they were calling us like a Cinderella team because they hadn't heard nothing about us. And to be honest, we dropped a lot of games that we shouldn't have, but it was just like everybody wanted to go and do their own thing and not like listen to the game plan that was structured from the locker room. Like the whole week where we go over, like some people like in – last minutes of the game, they just want to become Kobe or Mike or somebody.
Yeah.
And so we came in, we was like, all right, man, we need everybody to lock in and focus right now. So I don't know if y'all know it or not, but I had like some alcoholics on my team. Like everybody was drinking, like whether it was game day after game or whatever. But everybody stopped the alcohol, like we was completely focused. And we was like, we had lost one of our players had ended up going back home, which was Rico. And Nationals was in Montreal. So we was like, the whole plan of it is to go where Rico can watch us play in Nationals. You feel what I'm saying? No, that would be our gift to him. So man, we came out first game, man, had we knowing Johnny can't shoot. Yeah. So like we like, all right, force him to shoot.
Yeah.
If he get to the basket, he ain't got a clear look at the layup. It's whatever. Yeah, get him to the free throw line, make him miss some free throws. That was our game plan. So we beat them. And then came back. Concordia beat us like, I think like probably three out of four times we played them. We was like, nah, we can't lose to them four times. So we know what they got, they know we got, but it was all about that extra gear. Like we had that extra gear that year. Like regardless of the year, Lakeland is running, regardless. Like that's the main thing that we do. Yeah. So came to the fourth quarter. I think it was all kind of knotted up. It was going back and forth. And then we seen that they was getting tired, so we was like, all right, bro, they tired. It's time.
Yeah, full time, yeah.
My teammate, Brandon Isaac, RIP, man. We lost him the last year. So he hit a shot. He called game.
Yeah, he was shooting that shit too.
After he called game, like, I don't know what happened. Everything just felt electrifying. And then we won that game. We like, all right, Sate. We got Sate now. I ain't gonna lie, that's probably the one game that we played against Sate that I didn't do nothing. Like, I don't know, that whole playoffs, I was just focused on playing defense and rebound. I wasn't worried about scoring and none of that because we didn't have no rebounders. I'm the biggest dude we got. Yeah. So I got to take on all that. And y'all got big guys, man. So I'm like, all right, I got to focus. So after that, we went to that was a hell of a game. I ain't even gonna lie, man. Yeah. All my games against State been just like crazy.
Fuck, crazy. Last game you were going nuts. Fuck you, hitting tray ball after tray ball.
Hey,
come on, man.
We couldn't go out like that, man. And then like if you think about it, the whole
sniping, fuck.
The whole first half, how many times did I touch the ball though?
Hardly, yeah, that's facts.
In the fourth quarter, I didn't touch the ball either.
Yeah. No, that third quarter, I was like, yo, what the heck? It got to a point where, like, number 12 hit two threes. I'm like, yo. he had the and one three. I'm like, yo, I look over the bench. I'm like, yo, they're not, like, if he's hitting that, man, come on, man.
I'm in trouble.
Hey, yo, I ain't gonna lie. Some of those shots was crazy, though.
Crazy. But, that was dope.
I would say my most memorable moment is in ACAC is basically just proving that I belong to be where I'm at. Like, I took the long way, but I ain't take the wrong way. You feel me?
I hear you. That's dope, man. That's hella dope. Nah, for sure.
That's tough.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, like, it's crazy because, like I said, we all come from different paths. And we all kind of crossed and kind of meet and met at this kind of intersection right here where, you know, we got four brothers from different places out here hooping, you know, doing their thing. So I want to make sure I tell y'all, man, I appreciate y'all taking the time out here, jumping on, chopping it up with me. And I appreciate all you guys' competitiveness, man, because that's one of the things, like, as I said, being from Toronto, coming out to Calgary, that's one of those things where I'm like, you miss that, you know, because, like, Toronto, you get that all the time, like, you see all these guys from Toronto going to NBA, yada, 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 whatever. And then you come to Calgary, it's like fair play rule, this, that, and the third, you know, and it's just different. And to come up versus three guys who hoop, who are cut from the same cloth, you know, and want to compete, I definitely appreciate y'all. So that's why I definitely had to reach out to y'all three and kind of chop it up with y'all because there's not many of y'all, of us in the ACAC, you know? So I appreciate y'all, for sure.
Yeah, thanks, bro.
For sure.
Yeah,
I
get a chance. Before we get off here, if this is the end, I'll say, like I said, what I forgot to mention earlier,
yeah.
Was, like I said, just having the opportunity to even come up and play means a lot. So, like I said, myself and I'm pretty sure that they would agree. In the States, you got like, every year you got a million kids graduating. You got another 100-some thousand transferring schools on every level from NCAA Division 1, 2, and 3, NAIA, all three levels of junior college. And then you got kids coming out of high school every year graduating, looking to go to college. So I'm like, shoot, coming up, having a chance to come up, I feel like playing in Canada, our talents is like – wouldn't necessarily say under like a microscope, but our talents is definitely like more appreciated. Like, sure. Like coaches, players, everybody like respect us coming up. So we get a chance to like really show like what we can do, no matter what level it's on, compared to how it is in the States. Cause in the States, I just look at it like all them coaches in the States, they can go get another one of me, another one of Lyndon, another one of Tavy. Anywhere they want to, anywhere in the country at any time, or I can go get somebody fresh out of high school. So yeah, I don't need you on my team, kind of thing. And I feel like it's way different up in Canada. Cause sure. Shit, I think it was something that Tay mentioned. He was like, when the opportunity was presented to him, he thought about it. He was like, man, I don't know if I want to do it. And then had what he had to his story that you feel me. That led him to, all right, I'm going to do this for real this time. And like I said, a lot of guys will hear that, get that opportunity presented to them, and then be like, I don't know, it ain't for me. But the ones, like I said, that do, I feel like come up here and enjoy it and make the most out of it. Like I said, coaches, they should take a chance on us. They don't know if they're getting from somebody coming from the States. And a lot of us coming up from hoods, like crazy, like, I don't even say crazy places, but coming from – and I don't even want to say places of poverty, like motherfuckers just poor and all of that. but coming from definitely coming from some places of struggle. So yeah, so like I said, they don't know what they're getting, and like I said, just us getting an opportunity to come hoop, just, like I said, it means everything, and definitely enjoy the process. And all. And then I got one more thing before I'm done. Since I know it's going on some social media, man. Y'all got to figure out up here how to get all of these CCAA level guys a chance to play pro too, just like they're doing in youth.
No, that's something factual for sure. Like I've been talking to a bunch of people, and like I don't want to say any names and stuff and say schools and stuff, but we felt that our roster this year could have beat some youth sports teams, right?
For sure.
We felt that our roster could have beat some like youth sports teams that were like playing in the Elite Eight. You know what I mean? So to see that the youth sports CIS level, they're getting all these guys who are getting the opportunity, like whether or not they make it or not, like I'm not going to talk on that, whatever they make it or not. But the fact is they're getting opportunity to be at that next level. It doesn't seem right to me, because you go down the board of like the top guys in U Sports, top guys in CCAA, like they compete. You know what I mean? They compete. Like,
yeah.
And you're 100% right. Like, I don't know who got to hear this. I don't know who this got to go to. I don't know nothing like that. But the CCAA got some guys who can hoop too, period.
Yeah. You
know, for sure.
And I know, like, it's different. It might be even a little more different for us because we're international and we're playing with the FIBA rules. So for, like, us in here, like, we might not be able to get the same, but if we could at least, you feel me, break down some walls and make opportunity better for somebody else, I definitely love the opportunity to be a part of that kind of history where it's, shit, something that I do help the next kid come out of ACAC, whether it's a Canadian kid or even myself or somebody like myself, where like these two guys get the opportunity to play pro and still go back and finish school if they want to. Because I just like, I feel like that's super, super unfair. Like, I understand it's a start and they trying to figure it out, but it's super, super unfair because there's nobody that can tell me that I can't compete with nobody on the youth sport level. Like, I honestly feel like in my heart, like, I could literally, if not the same, averaging 24, 25, 26, 27, if not averaging that, I know for sure I'm shooting good percentages and still averaging the same amount of points on that level against that talent to be able to showcase my stuff.
That's facts. And, like, for a long time, there's been a lot of negative talk from like the CIS and stuff, or like U Sports, saying that like CCAA is not like quality basketball, but that's changing. Cause you look at the guy from Vanier who's playing in a CJIP, who went to the league, Kareem, right? He went to the league. So you can't tell me that there's not talent at this level. Like if you watch ACAC Final Four, if you watch the National Final Four, you know, like we battled with Humber, you know, came down to 2 points at the end to a national championship, you know? So, like, you can't tell me that talent is not there at this level. So, I agree.
Yeah, it's the journey and the path. It's like, man, we ended up here. Of course, we want to go there. But it's like, man, we here and we can compete individually and all that good stuff. But that's my thing, too. I just want to open the doors for the next people under us, too. And, like, people from my city that don't get the chance, they can come out here and have that opportunity to come play. Yeah. Cause don't nobody like know that Canada got these avenues here. Mm-hmm. So just changing that narrative of expanding and all that good stuff would be good. Cause I do, like, I've been busting up. I hate to play MRU. So I'm like, dude, every time you play these dudes, I'm about to drop 20, 30 on them. We about to beat them. And that's coming from ACAC, looking up to U Sport. Like, dude, I don't even want to play them. So it's just like one of those things that it got to change too. So I definitely agree with that.
Facts. All right, y'all. But I will say again, I appreciate y'all joining me. Artavius Holiday, Lyndon Jackson, Sean Michael Clancy. Appreciate y'all joining me.
You are listening to the Fresh Take Network.